What's going on, everybody? I am so excited that you joined us to hear this message today, because I think this is going to change your life. It's a wild one. Get ready. But before we get to the message, I want to invite you to join us next week for a celebration of 26 years of ministry, as well as 10 years of me and Pastor Nat being the lead pastors of Transformation Church. It's about to be church anniversary. And if you know anything about Transformation Church, when we have a party, we have a party. We would love to invite you. If you're anywhere in the area or around, or you got enough cheese to fly here, come on home as we celebrate what God has done for 26 years, and what he's done for the last 10 years has been amazing. So grateful for what God's going to do. And the second thing I want to tell you before we get into this message is that this week, tribes are back. And if you don't know what a tribe is our small group, our communities that meet to actually do life together. Healing happens in small groups. Change happens in small groups. Transformation happens in small groups. We come on Sundays and we sit in rows, but if you find out the power of a circle, it'll transform your life. So right now you can text TRIBES to 828282 and you'll be able to join a tribe in your area and online. There are people meeting all over the world together. And I'm telling you, if you really want to experience Transformation Church, this is how you do it. Well, today's message is going to challenge you, transform you, and I believe bring you closer to your destiny. This one is about us getting out of denial and actually not walking through the doors of distraction. Let's get into the message, please. And so today, I'm gonna do my assignment by pointing people to him, but I'm gonna do it a little different because I need to talk about you just for a second, because we might be the hindrance in our own way. Has anybody tripped over your own feet before? Okay, I'm about to find out where everybody's at. Has anybody slammed your own hand in a cabinet or a door? Has anybody ever dropped the food that you prepared? And there is nothing more devastating than telling other people they can't eat your food, preparing to get all your sauces, and then right when you try to do too much and pick up all the plates and the drink at the same time, bam. And your automatic reaction is to get up and fight somebody and blame somebody. But you realize the only person who was responsible for the distraction, the death of your plate, the actual devastating moment was you. Now, usually when it comes to our life, we try to blame everybody else for the moments in our life that caused us pain, keep us from our purpose, don't take us to the greatest level. But in week two of this series that we are calling Death to Distraction, I gotta help you have the faith to focus. Somebody say, I will have the faith to focus. Say it one more time with faith. I will have the faith to focus. How many people could use some more focus in your life? You know it would positively impact your life. Okay, how many of you know where the distraction is? I love a self-aware congregation, because everybody that raised their hand, we can go somewhere. The rest of y'all, you gonna make me work for 50 minutes to convince you that you are distracted in an area that everybody else around you can see. But you have not taken ownership that it's affecting you in the way that it is. And that's why today, to get you to him, I gotta start talking to you so that you can get out your own way. Look at your neighbor and say, get out your own way. Come on, now choose your other neighbor that you didn't like as much the first time. I don't know why you didn't turn to them. Now you got to look at them and say, neighbor, get out your own way.
How are you going to get out of then? Everybody's like, yeah, why didn't you look at me? I got you. Okay. The way that we can actually look at this is by going to the solution before we address the problem. Anybody that is distracted, there is a solution. Good news for you today. There is a solution. And this is going to be our scripture of the year. I'm going to try my best to say this every single Sunday until you get it in your spirit and in your heart. I want you to turn to Hebrews 12:1. And we're going to read this together. Y'all did so good last week that we're going to do it again together. And I want us to read this scripture until it becomes something that is hidden in our hearts. There will be times in your life that you will not have cell phone connection. There will be times in your life. I just want to be very clear with you. I thank God for convenience. But many times, it hinders us from having what we need when everything is not convenient. And I want you, the Bible says, hide the word of God in your heart. And this one, I'm gonna say until we can hide it in our hearts. We're gonna read this together. We're gonna start, can we get it on screen? Can we get it behind us so I can get everybody to say it out? Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Has anybody ever been entangled by sin? I just wanted to make sure I'm in the right place. Has anybody, watch this, ever been entangled by weights? Okay, we're in the right place. We're gonna start at and let us. Here we go. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Does everybody know there's a race with your name on it? Like, while you're trying to be them and do that and be compared to them, there is a race with your name on it. That when you run that race at your pace, nobody can beat you. And many times the frustration of our life is because we're running a race that was never marked out for us. This is why this series is very important to your fabric of faith and life. Because I want you to get, watch this, out of their lane. Get out of their lane. Get out of that lane that you made up. Get out. Move. Get out the way. I'm 5 minutes in. I'm too hyped right now. Verse 2, here's the answer. I need to say it. We're starting fixing. Fixing our eyes. Somebody shout at me, focus. Focus. Fixing our eyes. Focus on who? On Jesus. The pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's give God praise right now for the reading of his word. Every week I'm gonna tell you this same thing. Fixing your eyes or focusing on Jesus is the thing that's going to change your life. I know everybody's telling you to focus on other things, but I'm telling you, I've tried focusing on a lot. I tried to focus on success. I tried to focus on the image. I tried to focus on getting around the right people. I tried to focus on making sure that I had everything. And it doesn't matter what you do as a human being. When you do not have Jesus as your fixed focus, something is coming that will lead you to a place of distraction that will ultimately end up in destruction. There are too many examples in our own life, but if you don't want to use your own life as a case study, I need you to look at so many other people's lives. And that's why over the next few weeks, we're talking about a man named Samson. Now, Samson, by all accounts, was a Bible character that you might have heard of when you were a child. And what was Samson's claim to fame? His what? He had superhuman strength. One could say that he was able to do things that others were not gifted to do. You could say that Samson had the ability to be able to endure things and handle things that nobody else could handle. It sounds like many of us. Though we do not have the title of Samson, some of y'all strong. Some of you have been so strong and you've been gifted to go through seasons that seemed unfair. You have been strong enough to walk through adversity, after heartbreak, after broken thing, and still smile. Some of you, see, you're thinking about physical strength, but he was gifted by God to be strong. And some of y'all have been discounting what God is doing in your life because you've been like, I don't want to be strong no more. But God said, that's how I anointed you. I have given you the ability to do something that would take most people out. But your strength may have made you think that you do not have to submit to the words of God. Because Samson had a strength, the way some of us have a strength and a gift, that then becomes the thing that we put our faith in instead of him. So our strength, I can handle this. I can go through, I don't need nobody else. The word of God may work for them in that situation, but this is how I survived. And your strength makes you feel like you don't need to submit to the word of God. Some of us make so much money, we don't pray to God. Oh God. Because money is the thing you're submitted to. So if God tells you to do something, you won't. But you will literally put your family, not even on the back burner, out the house. If there's a business deal you can't miss. What are you submitted to? Some of you, college and career and the pursuit of knowledge is good, but you're submitted to it because you decided that I'm gonna work my way up this corporate ladder and I'm gonna be this and I ain't never gonna be like them. And if God asks you to do something, it's a fight. But if the college say you gotta write a paper that's 900 pages long, I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just asking, what are you submitted to? What is your strength submitted to? Because Samson's strength, I'm screaming, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm just hype. I know where we're going. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Samson was strong without being submitted. And so his strength became the very thing that would lead him to destruction. Okay. All right. Judges chapter 16, verse 4. This is the part where we usually start in Samson's journey. Sometime later, what time was it? It was a later time. Sometime when? That means there was something before this. Anytime you see sometime later, you should always go back and read what happened before. I know you're trying to get through your Bible plan quick. But whenever you hear sometime later, that means there's a story attached to that. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named, what's her name?
Hey there, Delilah.
Who lived in the valley of Sorek. When I was going to start the series here. Week two was going to start from here on because I got a message next week that's going to take you out. But then the Holy Spirit said, Michael, most believers don't pay enough attention to the principles we can extract from Samson's life before Delilah. Before destruction. Before the disaster. What happened in your life before the divorce? Come on. Because so many times we're trying to just heal from what happened. But it is inevitable to happen again. Because we did not pick up the Blues Clues from what happened. Somebody say before. And if the church does not stop and wait on God to reveal, why do I keep getting in this situation. And most of us, what our prayer is, Father God, just take me to the next level. Father God, I thank you that we go from glory to glory and faith to faith. Father God, I thank you that this season won't look like last season. Yes, it will. Because you never learned about last time. If I could tell the church anything, is make it through, heal, do everything that God told you to do, but don't leave this lesson without learning what you need to learn from last time. Because last time becomes this time when you don't spend time. Oh my God. Let me say it again. Last time becomes this time when you don't spend time. Why did I let them call me that? When did I put my guard down? When did I say that was okay? When was the first time that felt comfortable and I used to be convicted about it? Pastor Mike, why is this important? Because write this point down. Destruction always starts with a distraction. Destruction always starts with a distraction. Delilah will be the last stage of Samson's destruction, but not the first. Whatever you will ultimately be known for didn't happen isolated. Like we know Samson for being taken out by Delilah. We know people that do great things for doing great things. It never starts where you find it. Hear what I'm saying. Jealousy never starts at beating somebody else's wife up. Insurance fraud don't ever start with Bank America. It never starts at the big thing. It always starts with one distraction. What you doing over there? What you looking at? What y'all eating? Everything that has ever happened in my life that went against the word of God never was presented to me on a platter. It was always something that I was distracted by. Subtle. Covert. Quiet. Secret. Easy. Watch this. A moment. The reason why I'm taking this moment to just let you sit in this is because there's things you don't think are a big deal right now that are literally leading you down a path that you will be asking for deliverance from. And I wish you could see the monster that's at the end of this. But right now, it's little. I was scrolling and somebody was twerking in booty shorts and they work out though. And I can scroll past that. You didn't delete it. You didn't block it. You didn't do nothing. Y'all see how quiet. Oh, and it's not just that man in the muscle shirt and wearing the two tight pants and all that other stuff. And you over there looking like, my God, what is God doing in his life? My God. Yet 2 days later, it pops up again. 4 days later, it's a whole group of people like that. And it just takes one moment when you're weak. I'm gonna leave it alone. Let me show you this picture real quick. Everybody, look at this picture of this tragic accident that I found. This is the pile up here. You can look on the center screen. And even there, this is a 133 car pileup. This is one of the most devastating things that could ever happen. This is what we would call an unfortunate accident that caused a lot of destruction. Destruction to property, destruction to people's lives. You can bring the feedback to me. Destruction to the highway, to people's day, destruction everywhere. What if I told you this happened because somebody was checking their phone? What if I told you it was 15 seconds of a distraction in a place that needed focus, that caused people to literally have to be raised for the rest of their life without a parent? We looked up some stats just to see, because I didn't want to just take this picture. In 2022 alone, over 300,000 people were injured due to cell phone distraction in a car. And over 3,300 people died because somebody was distracted checking if they got two more followers. Now, we feel it when we see pieces of metal piled up, but we don't feel it as much when in our own life, there's all kind of generational habits, patterns, ideas that have crashed in our lives and become the scene of destruction. So today, I just want to bring a parallel to that picture, because there was no threat to those people except their own decision to be distracted. Hear what I'm saying. They weren't defensive driving to get away from something they saw in a Tom Cruise movie. This was not an action scene. This was a decision to be distracted. And I have to come to the church at large today and ask you, are some of the disasters we have faced and that we're going towards only because we've decided to be distracted? Let me put a disclaimer up here for distraction. Very simply, distraction will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's what distraction will do. When you are distracted, you're like, how did I get here? And I don't even want to be here no more, but why am I staying here? And I didn't know that was going to cost me that much, and I wouldn't have paid it, but I'm still paying it. And the reason I have to tell you that is because there is a secret twin of distraction that I want to expose today. If I don't get to do anything else, if you ain't heard nothing else that I said, this the one. If you are distracted, the worst ad, the worst partner to distraction is this word we got to deal with today: denial. The crazy thing about distraction is when somebody comes to tell you you might be distracted by that, most people are in denial. And denial is the thing that is plaguing the body of Christ, because we cannot take constructive criticism from anybody. We cannot take correction in love. We cannot be able to make a different suggestion. We can't be able to say, hey, I used to be in that. Now I'm in this. We can't do anything. And people be like, that ain't me. My issue ain't your issue. I'm not dealing with that. I can handle these things. And the problem is, you cannot deal with anything you do not see is there. Okay. Write this point down. Denial is dangerous because it makes it impossible to change. Y'all all have family members right now that you know that you want your relationship to be better than it is. But a lot of the problem is that when you bring up stuff, they're going to tell you that it didn't happen like that. They're going to try to make, that's not how you was raised. I didn't do that to you. I'm telling you, this is how I experienced this moment. I'm telling you, this is how it affected me. Am I in the right place right now? Okay, I'm telling you, this is why I'm mad. I'm telling you, this is why I was pushed to drugs. And you gonna tell me. It didn't happen like that. Ask your brothers and sisters. Ask your cousin. They was there. There's no way they could have done that to you. There's wait. And many times, because of denial, our healing gets delayed. Can we take it out of anybody else's hand? You're in denial when God is trying to reveal something to you. And you'd be like, God, it wasn't that bad. God, I didn't really do that. I wasn't flirting with them. When the Holy Spirit said, you did too much. Too much. I gave him a side hug. He said, but I know what you were thinking. I know you gave him a side hug, but I know what you was thinking. Too much. And in an area that God wants to potentially bring clarity, healing, help, we're still in denial. The enemy would love for the body of Christ to stay in denial because it keeps you distracted. And if you never get out of denial, you'll always stay in distraction and you will never have deliverance. Some of y'all are mean. And multiple people have tried to tell you. Because you could fix it. You could become what you don't, what you currently are not. But because you are in denial. I've met so many gifted singers who have said, man, if you would just do a little less. Stop, don't do all the runs, just... Piano players, musicians, guys, hold on, but let us catch the beat. Where's the beat? But as soon as you say it, they're like, oh, no, they don't value my gift. Hold on, wait. You just took defense because somebody had a different perspective on a situation that they are outside of, but you won't even let it get closer because you're in denial. Samson, through his entire journey, is in denial. He thinks he can play with what God put parameters around. Gosh. I'm telling y'all right now, this thing is ministering to me so much because God is saying, Michael, when I speak to you, don't act like I'm not God. If I say to you, you're getting prideful. Don't start qualifying, but God. No. Okay, Lord, what does that look like for me? What do I need to do? How do I need to submit this? Where is it at? I've talked to more. Let me talk to my senior saints for a second. Some of y'all will not go to counseling or therapy. I'm dead looking at you. Why we gotta bring up old stuff? Because it's still festering in you. You are an old woman now, but you are a young woman bandaged and hurt. The healing never happened. And now it's pouring out onto your family members and your grandchildren and all that other stuff. Because what's this young little person gonna tell me? They ain't even experienced life. They ain't even been nowhere. I've been here since 1966 and God has seen me. He's seen me through every season, and you do all of that, and nobody will even open up to you. Your own kids have to create worlds to stay away from your disease. And if you don't let it out, I'm just telling y'all, I'm talking about what I know. I'm talking about what I'm dealing with. I'm talking to you and talking to your kids. And they're saying, we could never bring that up to them. And they saying, I don't know what's wrong with them. They just disrespectful now. They don't call. They don't do nothing. Oh, God. Somebody might be in. And the enemy would love for you to stay in denial. He would love for you to die in denial. And that's why I had to come today to tell you that you may be distracted by the wrong thing. And today, if we could, this is only week two, y'all. I got like eight of these, okay? I just need us to walk. Yeah, the clip is loaded. I just need us to walk through this gently together to maybe see if there's an area of our life that God wants to do a deliverance, but we're still in denial. And this is the reason I need to say this about denial, and I'm staking on it because I want you to come out of it. I want you to actually be people who can hear from God, hear from others. This is why you got to get in a community group. This is why you got to get in tribes, because sometimes the people you love can't say stuff people you don't know can say to you. Oh my God. I can't tell you how many times, like, I'm bringing this up with Natalie, and then we get around some other couples and they'd be like, are y'all struggling with this? Because we struggling with this, and be like, as a matter of fact, we are. And the only reason it worked is because I didn't bring it up. But if I would have brought it up, it would have been World War III. But community created safety for us to come out of denial. Pastor Mike, why are you going so hard on denial? Because denial makes you dumb. When you stay in denial, watch this. I heard Pastor Darius Daniel say it like this. He said, it turns seasons into cycles. Seasons into cycles. When you're in denial, the thing that God meant to be for a specific amount of time becomes the replay of your life. Seasons change with time. Cycles change with you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Season, a period of time, it changed to another season. Period of time, it changed to another season. Some things in your life were supposed to be a season, and because you're in denial and didn't allow God to do what he wants to do in your life, it became your cycle. And so I just need to put this equation out here so we can know how to guard ourselves against it. Write this down. Distraction plus denial always equals destruction. If I'm distracted and I'm in denial that it affects me the way that it does, it will at some point lead to a destruction. Let me give you an example. Somebody say distraction. I'm attracted to someone at my job. But I know I'm not supposed to be with them, but they fine. I'm fine. We flirt. It's nothing. Everybody say denial. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Like, I'm a grown woman. I'm a grown man. This is not a big deal. It's just flirting at work. It's just asking, do you want to have donuts together? No. It's just taking our 15-minute break together and walking outside. Yes, I'm married. Yes, they're married. It's not a big deal. Everybody say destruction. It ends in soul ties and divorce. It's that simple. Everybody say distraction. I don't have time to budget. I'm busy. Money's coming in. It's okay. I'm busy. Everybody say denial. I'll get around to it. You know how many people have survived without budgets? You just got to make more money in than you let go out. Everybody say destruction. You end up living in a cycle of poverty no matter how much money you make. Do you know I know broke millionaires? No. I personally know people who have millions of dollars and live like they have hundreds of dollars. Because the principles are the same at every level. Everybody say distraction. I only sit when I'm stressed. Got real quiet. I only sit when I'm stressed. Sip. I only drink when I'm stressed. Golly. Somebody's in denial. Everybody say denial. I'm not an alcoholic. They're an alcoholic. I know an alcoholic when I see an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom was an alcoholic. My aunt was an alcoholic. I only... when I'm stressed. Everybody say destruction. A life of addiction. When you're in denial about something, it can lead to a life that has you completely bound. Everybody say distraction. Me and my wife don't prioritize spending time together. No date nights. I mean, it's really about the kids. We had all these kids, you know what I'm saying? So we just do the kid thing. Everybody say denial. We have a lot going on, and it'll get better in a different season. I mean, we have a lot going on right now. They're just young. Or they're just in sports. Or they're just in college. Or they're just living with us still. Let's be honest. There's always going to be a season. Everybody say destruction. No intimacy and loss of connection in a marriage that God designed. Just last one. Everybody say distraction. You're doom scrolling. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just on Facebook. Just Facebook. Instagram. YouTube. TikTok. Come on, what else? MySpace. Black Planet. Pinterest. I like it. Thank you. Because some of y'all's comparison and insecurity gets so flared up just on Pinterest. Why can't my house look like this? Because that's a picture. Everybody say denial. It's not that deep. Everybody does it. I'm trying to give you a formula. Pastor Mike, why are you going with it? Because I need you to know everybody in here has something they're in denial about. When I was overweight, I was like, this don't look that big. Buying 3Xs and 4Xs because that made me look how I thought I looked, but I knew how I looked with none of the look on. But years of my health journey was delayed because I was in denial. My wife ended up telling me one time. Because I don't know if she was blinded by my charm or blind. And I appreciate, thank you, Lord. But at some moment, we was doing something. She was like, that was a lot. And I remember her saying that was a lot. Like, I'm a lot? Like, I'm a lot. You saying I'm a lot because it was only me and you here. So that was a lot means I. You think I'm, and then you start asking, you think I'm a lot? I'm just trying to be hot, humble, open the trap. Years of my life was delayed because I was in denial. And this is what the enemy would love to do. He would love to keep you distracted and in denial, because just give it a little time, you're going to find a doorway that leads to destruction. The doorway to destruction. What's behind the door? Is anybody back there? Hello? Why would a door just be here? Okay. I'm going to keep preaching. But that door has now become a distraction because I focused on it one time. It's been up here the whole time, but I've been focused on the camera. I've been focused on the faces. I've been focused on what I was assigned to do. But at the moment that I took my eyes off of the focus, I now have a distraction. All right, door. Stay right there. This is what happens in Samson's life. Samson was born to be a deliverer to the children of Israel who had been allowed to be captive. Now, this is a whole nother thing that messes with your theology. When you don't obey God in the Old Testament, he would allow your enemy to capture you because it was the only way to bring you back to a place of desperation to call on him. Thank God for the new covenant, because he won't do that to us no more. He sends us to Jesus to be able to be the propitiation for all of our sins so we can go back to him and actually get right. But back in the day, he said, they don't get it. I've given them laws. I've told them what to do. Go get them. And he allows his chosen people to be taken captive by a group of people called the Philistines. And because of this, the Philistines were ruling, reigning, and putting slavery conditions on the people of Israel. They begin to cry out for God out of desperation because their situation was so bad. You got to read back for the whole context. That's why this is in the book of Judges. This is a season where there was no kings. They did not make God their king, and there was no kings on earth. And so they begin to cry out for a deliverer. When they cried out for a deliverer, God said, I'm going to answer your prayer, but I'm not going to talk to you about it. And he made a woman who was barren pregnant. Which is a point right there. Sometimes you're crying out for something that you're going to have to wait a little bit longer because God answered you, but it takes a moment for it to actually be birthed. It's not my point. But what I'm trying to tell you right now is Samson is born to a woman that declares that if I can have a child, because I was barren, I will dedicate this child to you. Samson is born under a Nazarite vow, which says simply that he is to eat no pork, not touch anything that is dead, don't have any strong drink, and never cut his hair. He said, as long as he does this, he will have super empowered strength from God on high. The boy is born and taught this daily, every time. But then he starts doing crazy stuff like being able to just beat up people and change things and move things. And I'm going to show you an example, but I need you to understand, he knew there was a standard. The same way you know there's a standard. And if you're in denial that you know it's wrong to have sex outside of marriage, You know that from a medical standpoint. Let's not even go to scripture yet. You know. You know it from an emotional standpoint. You've seen enough stories. You watch enough Housewives of wherever. You've seen what happens when families are born in broken situations. You know. You know gossip doesn't do nothing but tear people down. Yet, we still find ourselves like Samson many times, flirting with the doorway that would lead us to destruction. My last big chunk of scripture, Judges 14:5. It says, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards them. Now, this is just scary. I need you, because sometimes we read these stories like it's not real people. I just want you to imagine you, your mom, and daddy taking a walk. I just want to put you in the scene. And a lion, Mufasa, come, do you understand? Okay, like, comes charging at you. Now, what would be your response? Everybody in this room would run. Look what Samson does. Because the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, so he tore the lion apart with his bare hands. This is crazy to me, as he might have torn a young goat. Now, who tearing goats apart with their bare hands? Y'all see what I'm saying? Like, his strength is so crazy. It's like, yeah, it was crazy he did it with the lion, but like a goat is like, no. But they're trying to give you the contrast of how strong he, how, watch this, gifted he was. Because some of us are just super, have you ever met somebody that's just super gifted at something for no reason? It kind of makes you sick, like it's kind of like, ew. So what? This is Samson, and this is some of us. It said, then he went down to talk with the woman. He liked her. Verse 8, sometime later. What was it? Sometime. Dang, that keeps coming up. When he went back to marry this girl, he turned aside. He lost focus. He got distracted. And he took a look at the lion's carcass. And somehow the lion's carcass had a swarm of bees and some honey in it. He scooped out the honey with his hands and ate it as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some too. And they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from an unclean animal. Remember the Nazirite vow. Don't touch nothing dead. But because something dead had something sweet next to it. Oh my God. There are too many believers that are touching dead things because there's something sweet next to it. There are too many believers that are staying in dead places because I get a sweet feeling when I get there. There are too many people that are living their life in a dead place because they had one sweet season. And there was a boundary. And all he did was go to the doorway that would lead to his destruction. But I don't want you to get it twisted. It wasn't that he killed the lion. He had killed the lion already. He touched it when it was alive. No. The first time he touched the lion was when it was alive. He killed it, left it, walked away. But when he was traveling back, he got distracted and went to the, he should have never saw the honey. But because he turned and looked at, watch this, the victory of yesterday, and saw that something good was over there, he went to it and he touched the dead thing, which was the first time we know of that he walked through a door of distraction that led him to another door. What I'm trying to tell you is that the first door of distraction, it's important that you don't open this one. It's important that you don't try to find out what's behind it. Because every door of distraction you go into, watch this, you become desensitized. It becomes easier. That one had a little, but you'll lean into a door. You use your strength to get into some doors. Samson walks into this door of distraction. And it's the first time. Now, I need y'all to remember, this is before Delilah. Delilah's going to be the culmination of his destruction. But his destruction started with a distraction that was a door to another distraction. Okay? I need to bring up one thing just real quick as I'm trying to really close, because this thing is bothering me. Because people don't think you can still be used powerfully by God and still make dumb decisions. You can robokoski tayabasa shoulda bought a bow tie. Like, you can do all of that and still be distracted. It says, and the power, the Spirit of God came mightily upon Samson to work in his gift. And right after he worked in his gift, he snuck into a distraction. And was like, oh, this look good. Honey don't even fill you up. I just need, it's so beautiful that they used honey. Because honey is not even something that makes your appetite feel like it's being serviced. Honey is literally just for desire. This was not going to give him sustenance to go then do something else. And he had the audacity to give and incriminate his parents by taking the result of his distraction to others. How many times has God told us we're not supposed to do something, and then we actually go through the doorway of distraction, and then we're like, hey, y'all, found something out that's kind of cool. Found some honey around this dead thing. Pastor Mike, why are you saying this? It's just some honey. But there's something you missed in the scripture. I need you to see that out of all of this, the scripture tells us that he did not tell them he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. That means when he went into this doorway of distraction, he already knew it was something he was not supposed to do. He took the honey from it, and somehow he thought it was a good idea to give his parents, the ones who had given him to God. Okay. Why is this important? Because full disclosure is the opposite of denial. I think Samson would have closed some of these doors if he would have been like, y'all, my bad. I just did something stupid. Y'all remember the line I killed? Came back, honey. This honey's actually from the line. I touched it. Maybe there could have been a consecration. Maybe there could have been repentance. Maybe there could have been something. But because he did not give full disclosure, I'm tired of believers telling us the part of the testimony you think we want to hear. I escaped this relationship that da, 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 and da, da, da. But you didn't tell us the other side. You didn't tell us your part in. You didn't give us none of the. And so now we're believing for something without full disclosure. In full disclosure, some of y'all want something that you sowed seeds the wrong way to get. So when people come to us for marriage counseling or they're like, our relationship is just not working. You didn't tell us you cheated on them. So now we're praying that God would reconcile something, but there was like, there's some real damage there. Pastor Mike, why are you saying this? Because most people are in denial that they got to tell the full truth. And I'm just telling you right now, I tried to walk that journey. I tried to be faithful to my wife and tell her half the truth. I tried. And some of y'all are like, let the dead bodies lay. I don't even know the analogy, but just leave them alone. Leave them alone. But a lie always keeps disconnection. Pastor Mike, you really asking me either we gonna live this Christian life in truth and integrity and actually do what God's saying, or you're going to have no power. This is why we keep going through these doors. Okay, here we go. Pastor Mike, what are you trying to say to us today? The problem is you like Samson. You keep playing with what almost killed you. He goes back over to the lion that could have killed him. Let's be clear. Mufasa, Simba, Scar, they could have taken his life, but only because the Spirit of God came on him, he was able to do this. And somehow he confused the gifting with the God who gave the gift. Somehow he thought like, yeah, I can beat lions up. I can get through this. I can go through these relationships and not be, I can do this. I can make this happen. And he forgot the only reason he was able to come out of that situation with a lion was because God did something. But the reason he got distracted is because he kept playing with what almost killed him. Is there any area in your life where you're still playing with the distraction that has almost killed you? Is there any area in your life that you keep going through the doors? And the matter of fact, what happens is when you go through these doors, it gets so easy for you now that you You don't knock. You don't say anything. It's like, yo, what y'all doing in here? Okay. I'll be back. Walk into this other door. I'll be back. Y'all be good. I'll be back. And what happens is the doors stay open. There's nothing that's keeping me. There is nothing that's stopping me. It's very simple for people now to walk through doors that I've already opened. It's easy for them to see what's happening because nobody's ever doing what I'm asking you to do today on all your distractions. Shut the door. Pastor Mike, what are you saying? To every distraction in your life, shut it. Don't leave it cracked. Don't have it kind of open. Shut the door. I don't know if you grew up like I did, but when it was hot outside and we was running in and out of the house, sometimes we would leave the door open and then you would hear this voice come from heaven and they'd be like, boy, shut the door. I feel heaven calling somebody in here that has been distracted by things that they have walked into in different seasons and allowed to be there. This is the time where God is saying, shut the door. I'm shutting it on abuse and lying and insecurity. I'm coming to this and I'm doing what? Shut the door. I'm shutting it on comparison, perversion, and addiction. And God's calling some of y'all to shut the door. I will be everything God called me to be. I will shut the door to the enemy. And I will stand up and be focused by faith. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this place. This is what it's gonna look like. Somebody say, I'm shutting the door. Standing all over this place. Pastor Mike, you didn't tell us the title of your message. It's very simple. No, it's not shut the door. It probably should have been, but the sentiment, that's the answer. But I just want you to know there's always a doorway to distraction. Like there, hear me, everybody listen. This is always gonna be there. You're one click away from ruining a place in your brain that can look at your spouse in a healthy way. They'll always be here, but the Bible says, there's no temptation, no distraction. This is common to man. He said, and God always provides a way of a, or you could say it a different way. There's always another door. See, at the moment that I could go through the door of distraction, there is the door. Romans 6:1. Well then, should we keep going through these doors of distraction, keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? How are we gonna keep them doors cracked? Or have you forgotten that you, when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also, watch this, may live new lives. I don't care how far you've been down the doors of distraction. If you find yourself at a door right now, there's more infinite amount of doors that lead to your death. Because the wages of sin is... the wages of going down this road of distraction is death. But wherever you are, the only thing that can change you is that you turn. Biblical word for that is repent. God, I've been stuck at this door for years. And Father, I don't see myself living without this substance. I don't know what to do with what's going on in my heart, Father God, and I've messed up so many things. Could you ever use anybody like me? Father, in this moment right now, I'm broken, I'm hurting, I'm embarrassed. I don't even feel like it's worth trying to go back over there for all of the people that I'm gonna have to convince I'm not what I did. God, I made careers by this. I'm known on social media for this. God, I am a bad person. They can pull up tape on me. I have bodies everywhere. I have lies everywhere. There's so much. God, what can you do with somebody like, God, I ruined the church, Father God. I didn't do what you said for me to do. God, I ruined my marriage. God, I don't know what to do. I feel like I might as well keep going the other way. Today, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, all it takes is you turning and standing up by faith and looking at everything that could be and shutting the door. And God's gonna give you people in tribes and in a church that are gonna be cheering for you. I see this whole section over here. Can y'all tell me to come out? Come on, tell me to come out. See, right now in the midst of my moment and I don't know what to do, I see some light at the end of the tunnel. Have you been through this too? Have you gone through things like this? Can God give you a new life? Okay, I'm coming and I'm gonna shut the door on this. I don't know if I can really make the whole change. I don't know if God can use anybody like me. Has anybody ever lived an alternate lifestyle? Has anybody ever dealt with these things? Has anybody had these secrets? But there's somebody continuing to pray for me. And there's somebody that's saying, you can do this. And I don't know what my life would be without this stuff. But right now, I'm making a decision by faith to not look back and to shut the door and turn to the only door that can save me. Yeah. What will this mean for me? A new life. Old things will pass away. And behold, he will make everything. Everybody shout at me, new. One scripture for those, because this is ministering to somebody. John 10:9 says, I am the door. This is what Jesus says about himself. Somebody say, I am the door. So for every door of distraction, God said, that's a door. But I am the door. If anyone enters by me through Jesus, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Ooh. John 14:6 said, Jesus answered then, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Today, if you've been tempted by the door of distractions, today I want to introduce you to the door. His name is Jesus. And all you have to do is open up your heart and accept him. Well, where are all the other doors? You don't need any more doors. Because this one door can change your whole life. I need about 10,000 people who have experienced transformation to let somebody who's decided know that Jesus can change everything. My last point is Jesus is the only door to destiny. You want to do what God's called you to do? No more distraction. You can even be saved and try to come over here. And today God's calling you back. Come back through the door. Come back through the way, the truth, and the life. I have a very strong altar call today. And I actually, I feel like the Holy Spirit confirmed it earlier as I was in the back. Today, if you know that there are distractions in your life that you want to shut the door on once and for all, I need you to make a step of faith, and I need you to come to this altar. And this is not a long thing. This is not, but today you're shutting the door. It's okay. People will let you out the aisle. Just say, excuse me. Come all the way to the front. Come on. I don't care if you're a pastor, a leader, a musician. You have your own choice. If church, if there are distractions that you know you need to shut the door on today, I want you to come. Come all the way up, y'all. This altar is going to be full. This is a moment. I don't care if your husband comes. I don't care if your wife comes. I don't care if your boyfriend comes. I don't care if your girlfriend comes. This is for you. And there are some things that have been distractions that today you're saying, I'm shutting the door. Come on. I hear the Holy Spirit. He's moving. And please, we'll be all up the aisles and all. Well, there's not space for me. God knows my heart. Yeah. You're still in denial. I'm not saying the altar changes you, but there's something that happens when you make a sign, when you say, I don't care if anybody knows. I want the healing that God provides. I'm gonna say it. I'm giving a second. I'm pausing right here because some people's pride is getting in the way right now. And I just hear the Holy Spirit telling me to do something. I'm gonna shut all these doors one more time. I'm not even gonna say nothing. That this is a prophetic symbol of what God is about to do in your life. Some of this stuff has been opened generationally. But I believe. Get used to the sound. 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 Hands lifted all over this altar. If you're at home, the Spirit of God is with us. I want you to know there's people all over this place, down the aisle in the middle. Father God, this is our sign of surrender. And Holy Spirit, I am praying for every person under the sound of my voice that today is a turning point, a point of repentance. From the pastor, Father God, all the way to the person who just came to faith, I thank you that in this moment, we will no longer agree with our distractions. We cut ties with our distractions. Today, Father God, we are making a decision. We want the destiny that you designed for us. Father, Samson was supposed to be a deliverer and got taken out by his distractions. Today, Father, I rebuke the lies that tell us that our distractions are going to be the thing of our downfall. Today, Father, I thank you for divine focus. Come on, right now, begin to pray. Father, I thank you that every person that has made this faith step to come up, Father, whether we've been distracted by others, distracted by our own thoughts, distracted, Father God, by entertainment, distracted by money, distracted, Father God, by fear. In the name of Jesus, I declare that today your supernatural power will come on us like never before to literally shut the door on the lies of the enemy. And I pray specifically for us who have been in denial. Father, if there have been places in our hearts and our minds where we wouldn't even allow ourselves to be open to seeing a new truth, Father God, I thank you that we would remove pride and walk in humility right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, this is not about self-improvement. This is like about life transformation. God, we're not just trying to do better. We're trying to be who you've created us to be. So Father, for every tear that is flowing and for every person who has found themselves in such a place of destruction, I thank you for hope rising right now in the name of Jesus. I declare and I believe in the name of Jesus that you are bringing us into a place, Father God, where we will walk into the abundance of what our destiny looks like, not be trapped in the cycles of distraction that lead to destruction. I pray, Father God, that there would be a gentle spirit, that we would be empathetic with ourselves and others as we walk into new seasons. Give us the grace to not think that everything changes overnight, but give us the grace to stay consistent on the journey. And Father, I thank you that you would reveal to us beyond Sunday how we practically put death to these distractions. Today, by the Spirit, we shut the door. And we thank you for freedom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Look at me. Some of you, I'm giving you permission to grieve. Hear me. Listen why I'm saying that. Because some of you, these things have been so familiar. You've been so distracted by being the victim that you never could see yourself having victory. I want you to go ahead. It's okay that you grieve, but we're not going back. No, hear me. Hear me what I'm saying. And there are practical things. There are practical things some of you need to do to shut the door. I said spiritually we're shutting the door. For some of you to shut the door, you need an entirely new phone. And a new phone number. There's no way. My man like, dadgum it. Like, God, dog, I just got the phone 16. God, dog. You need, because that door opens at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 6 in the morning. There's too much access. Some of us need to have a conversation. And this is what I'm going to say to you. Some of y'all don't need to have a conversation. Because your distraction knows just what to say. And just how to make you. And girl, I thought we was in It needs to be boo, boo, boo. Sorry, this customer. That's what it needs. I'm going to go deeper. Some of you have to move out of the place that you're staying. No. I'm not saying that it may not be the best fiscal situation for you right now. But staying with that roommate and the things, or staying with that boyfriend or girlfriend, or staying with that family is just toxic for you. You would be better off in a situation you don't like than in a situation that feels comfortable and is killing you. For others of you, I need you to hear me. We're almost done, y'all. You need to come clean. I'm encouraging everybody to get in a tribe. Sign up today, sign up next week. Because there's people who are just like you that have gone through what you're going through or something similar and have wisdom. But if it doesn't come out of you, it kills you from the inside out. How are you going to shut the door to the distraction? I believe the Holy Spirit's going to ask you to do something that is uncomfortable. Some of you, no social media for the rest of the year. Pastor, what they going to do when they can't see what I'm doing? The same thing they was doing. Pastor, why are you saying that? Because it's a distraction of everything that happens politically. And then you got to tell your 5 followers how you feel about it and make a video and do all. God's trying to give you a solution to something, but you're so distracted. Some of y'all are going to have to take, I'm talking to moms and dads, you're going to have to change your schedule. Because you have no time for God to pour into you. And you're pouring out all day. The kids don't have to do extreme fencing. I'm just saying they're in basketball, soccer, they're in ballet, they're in an extreme fencing. They're not going to have a career in extreme fencing. Y'all get my point. I'm just saying, maybe you claim an hour back to actually do the things that matter. Husbands and wives, date each other. Remember why you fell in love. Talk about the things that are on your heart so they don't fester and become something else. If you're divorced, hear me. Go to counseling. And tell somebody the places you were in denial, not just the places they were in denial. Healing is what God wants for us. And we're going to walk out and shut the door on every distraction. If you are in this room, I feel the sweet presence of God in this place, y'all. There's something that's about to happen even in this moment. I need to pray for salvation right here, because somebody's choosing right now to choose the way. And if you're watching me online or you're in this room right now, on the count of three, if you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to repent and go through this door, and I'm saying you may have done it before, but you wasn't serious. And God's saying right now, I want you to make a fresh commitment. If that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to slip your hand in the air. One, you're making the greatest decision you've ever made. Two, God is with you and your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I see you, my brother. I see you, my sister. Oh, y'all got to shout better than that. I see you, bro. And more than that, God sees you. God sees you. God sees you. God sees you. Hey, listen. Online, this is the moment that God sees you. At Transformation Church, we're a family. Nobody prays alone. So if one of those brothers and sisters were near you, just slip your hand on them and then everybody else, let's pray. Say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I repent and I turn to you. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again with all power just for me. Use me, change me, renew me. I'm yours forever. I will no longer be distracted by anything, but I will be focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God some praise in this place? Oh, come on. Hallelujah. I want to welcome everybody who made that decision to the family. And I want you to text SAVE to 82822. Now, before everybody at the altar is moving, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Just we're about to leave. It's 12:15. We're out of here, okay? But I just need you to decide what you're leaving at this altar. I'm not about to, I'm going to tell the praise team to just worship. Service about to be over. Right after this, here in just about 15, 20 minutes, we're going to do a meet the pastor. And I'm going to be over there with some of our leaders and pastors. And I would love, if this is your first time or you came in or you're part of TC and Ben and you wanted to meet us, and we're going to talk to you. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to kiss you. I love that. I'm not going to kiss you, but I'm going to hug you. And I really want to meet you, but I just don't want you to leave this moment too fast, trying to get to something to distract you. I'm hungry, Pastor. I've been fasting for 21 days. Hold on, wait. Yeah, I get it. But some of us don't even need to go back to what we was doing. You know what I'm saying? That habit. I want to be altered here at the altar. I'm ready for change. Goodbye yesterday. Why? Because he's calling my name. We say, I want to be altered here. Come on, hands lifted. We're about to go, but I'm ready for change. Say,
I'm ready for change.
Goodbye yesterday.
Goodbye yesterday.
He's calling my name.
He's calling my name. I want to be altered here at the altar.
Just one more time. I'm ready for change. Say,
I'm ready for change.
Goodbye yesterday.
Goodbye yesterday.
He's calling my name, oh God.
He's calling my name. I want to be altered. Here at the altar,
just one more time. Something is changing. Say, I'm ready. This is our confession.
Goodbye yesterday.
Goodbye yesterday.
He's calling my name.
He's calling my name. I want to be altered. Here at the altar.
This week, don't open the door to the distraction. Okay? I'm going to teach you next week how we walk this out practically. Y'all only give me about an hour, okay? But today we made a decision. Next week I'm gonna teach you how we do this. But I'm telling you, you'll know, because the Spirit lives inside of you. So when the Spirit says stuff like, don't answer the phone, I want you to see yourself doing this. Ring, ring, ring. Nope. Hey. Don't go out with them. But it's their birthday. That doesn't matter for you. they can't be your client. Okay. Well, it's money. I need to. You can't work with them. Hey. Don't tell them about your problem. Because everybody you feel comfortable with does not have wisdom for your future. I keep slamming it because some of us have to make a decision that this is not something that's a quiet thing. I want the people around me to hear. Oh, he did it again. He closed the door. And this is the thing. When you close the door, to the distraction, ooh, I need another week. What used to be the thing that leads to destruction actually becomes protection. So if anything's trying to get to me, I have layers of protection. I am grateful that God has brought this word. And I don't want it to be a moment. I want it to be the beginning of a movement. Today, I want you to practice this. When you get to your house, I just want you to slam a door. Y'all, I'm not playing. Now, whichever door you're more comfortable with, it could be your car door, it could be your house door. Kids, if you live with your parents, tell them what you're about to do. Pastor Mike told me, because I don't want you to get beat. But just by faith. And we're going to post this all over social media. I just want you to just walk over to a door. And maybe you can write on a piece of tape what it was. What you're shutting. You might have some names on that mug. Damon, Daquan, Deshante. Pastor Mike, why? Because sometimes those little prophetic statements, they change the way you look at what's happening. Father, bless these people. Thank you that you brought us through this 21 days of prayer and fasting, God. And I thank you that you're giving us the faith to focus. Thank you that this will be a week, Father God, that distractions will not be the thing that lead us anywhere to destruction. But we trust you, we believe you, and we focus on you. Until next week, Father, thank you that you'll keep doing this work. This was just the start. Woo! Thank you for altering us at this altar. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, we agree. We expect. Amen. Go out and live a transformed life. If you need prayer, we're here, y'all. My God.
Goodbye yesterday. He is calling. He is calling my name.
I want to be altered.
I want to be altered. Here at the altar,
I'm ready for change.
I'm ready for change.
Goodbye yesterday.
Goodbye yesterday.
He's calling.
He's calling my name.
I want to be altered.
I want to be
altered.
Here at the altar.
Come on, I'm ready for change.
I'm ready for change.
Goodbye yesterday, yeah.
Goodbye yesterday.
He's calling my name.
He's calling my name.
I want to be altered.
I want to be altered. Here at the altar.
Goodbye yesterday.
Goodbye yesterday.
Goodbye yesterday.
Goodbye yesterday.
So he's calling my name.
He's calling my name.
Wanna be altered.
I wanna be altered.
Here at the altar.
Oh,
I'm ready for change.
I'm ready for change.
Goodbye yesterday.
Goodbye yesterday.
He's calling my name.
He's calling.
He's calling
my name.
Out.
I wanna be altered.
One more time.
See,
I'm ready for change.
This is Pastor Mike. I'm just getting off stage, but I wanted to come and speak directly to you for the over 17,000 people that are on right now, still a part of this worship experience. I just want to let you know God's doing something that is unparalleled. And I know you can feel the Spirit right there. And I just wanted to pray specifically over you. There are prayer requests that have been coming in. Felicia in Atlanta that's praying for salvation for her brothers, John and Michael and Rufus and Anthony, and wisdom for her finances and relationships. We're about to pray for you. If you have a prayer request, I want you to drop it in the chat. The team is over here taking all of these prayer requests, and there's a group of people here that is about to pray for you. Tell somebody, jump back on. It wasn't over. That there is something that God is doing, and he's going to shut the door on the distractions. We're praying for Michelle in Arizona that all anxiety would be cast out, that the doctors would find out the reason for the pain she has been experienced. We serve a healer. I feel this thing. We serve a healer, and we believe, Michelle, that you are healed in the name of Jesus. We're going to be praying for Melody Bird in Wisconsin for your healing from the autoimmune disease that has been plaguing your life, that you can have and have a long life to be here for your two daughters. Come on, right now, if you have a prayer request, I want you to drop it down in the comments right now. The team is seeing all of those, and we're just going to pray for a second. This is a moment. We have created an atmosphere of worship, an atmosphere for God to do miracles. This is the atmosphere. You have heard the word. We have worshiped him. And now God is shutting the doors to distraction and bringing you into another level of deliverance. We're going to pray for Edward in California, that you would have faith and strength not to go back to the old distractions in your past life. God is shoring up your footing. Today's message was just for you. And I'm believing that there are thousands of you that today, as you shut the door, as you physically do it, as you do it in your mind and your emotions, that this thing is turning for you. I feel the presence of God. And we are going to pray for Bella in St. Louis, that God would bless you to become a blessing machine. I love that. That God will bless you so much that you would be a blessing and give you wisdom for removing debt and divine discernment, and that you would not walk in fear. Y'all, we're going to pray right now. I need you to join your faith with mine. All over this world, as we are saying, God, alter us at this altar. Here we are, God. I am thanking you for every prayer request that I've seen, everyone that is going on the chat, and everyone, Father, that you know is coming from somebody's heart. I pray right now that as we shut the doors to the distractions, that you would do something on the inside of us, Father God, that would be able to walk in our full destiny. God, you designed us. You designed every person that is watching this to do something specifically for you. And God, I'm thanking you, Father, that enemy would love to keep us distracted so we never go through the door that leads us to destiny. But today, we make a decision to follow the only way. Jesus, you are the only way. And Father, for any person that has been wavering back and forth, today I thank you that they have made the final decision to shut the door. Father, we're shutting the door on wrong thinking. We're shutting the door, Father, on perversion. We're shutting the door on wrong relationships. We're shutting the door, Father God, on lies that we have believed. Today, Father God, we are walking in freedom. We are shutting the door, not going back there, Father. We will not have a life that leads to destruction knowingly. Today, Father, by the power of Jesus that is on the inside of us, I thank you, Father God, that you are creating and turning this whole story, our whole lives, into miracles. I pray for the prayer requests that are going on the chat right now. I thank you for financial breakthrough. I thank you for health in the name of Jesus, healing in the name of Jesus. I thank you for trust in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that right now you are bringing people to focus. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into divine focus. And Father, as we leave this online experience, I thank you that your presence is with us right now and evident like it's never been before. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that new practical wisdom is coming out of the message and the Spirit speaking today. Holy Spirit, come, rest on us. Do what nobody else can do. And I declare that this will be a week of victory. Thank you, Father, for what you taught us during this fast. And I thank you that you're moving us from faith to faith. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name we agree. Come on, in the chat, somebody say amen. Oh, come on, say amen. I am fired up. And I just believe that God's doing something so impactful and important. I love you. Transformation, I'm trying to do things that allow us to connect differently. That's why I just came back here. I wanted to talk to you. You are a part of this church. You are what make this church work. You are the thing that gives and serves and and literally changes the trajectory of how we've been able to reach the globe. And I just want you to know that my heart, Pastor Natalie's heart, is to bless and pray and stand for you. We're going to try to make this a more often thing, but I just want to let you know I love you. Next week, we're going to be celebrating 26 years of the ministry and 10 years of me and Pastor Natalie being lead pastors. And we would love for you guys to come celebrate with us. If you're within driving distance or you got a little cheese and you can fly, come on, man. Let's turn up together. And if not, y'all already know that tuning in and being intentional and focused, you're a part of this experience. We love you. I just need you to do one thing. Two. I need you to share this message with somebody that you love, you know, or you know needs to hear it. Share it. When this comes up today at 5, I want you to watch it again, and I want you to share it with somebody. The other thing I want you to do is go get your phone and go get a door, and I want you to shut the door. And when you shut that door, I want you to tag me, tag Transformation Church. I want people to wonder, why are they doing that? Because we are shutting the door on every distraction that the enemy would try to take us to destruction. I love you. Until next week, go out and live a transformed life. Peace.